So all these were, I did have this knowledge back then, and this was really important because my ignorance was a driving force, meaning that I thought I could conquer the world. And having that, I think it's important at some times. Otherwise, you wouldn't go for it. You wouldn't try.
We're on a mission. We're going to find and uncover the smartest, most successful entrepreneurs on the planet, explore their highs, their lows, and how they ultimately mastered the game. I'm Martin Cook, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Smarter Destiny podcast. I'm grateful for you and your time. Now let's level up together. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Smart Destiny podcast, where this time we are joined by Yanis Varelas. He is the founder and CEO of Olyra, or Olyra, if you're lazy like me, or Olyra, if we are talking authentically, authentic Greek. And that's what this is about, because Olyra is the fastest growing natural breakfast biscuits brand in the US. They are in 5,000 stores. Now, if you're in the US or you shopped in the US, you might recognize some of these: Sprouts Market, Whole Foods, Publix, Kroger, Fresh Market, Stop and Shop, Giant, and so on and so on and so on. Yanis is an expert at getting his amazing products into the supermarket shelves, which a lot of the listeners of this show, that might feel like a black art to you. It certainly does to me for years of performance marketing and spending money online to get sales. It feels like a black art. So we're going to go into that on this show. We're going to go into how to do that, how hard it is, but how great it is once you've done it, hopefully. But as I said, Olyra is all about being authentic, authentic to the roots, which are ancient Greek roots. And the brand itself wants to communicate those ancient Greek values to people's diet through modern people's needs. There's a bunch of stuff in our diets that we've forgotten. There's a bunch of stuff that we're not doing right. There's a bunch of stuff that our ancestors were nailing, and for some reason, we're not doing them ourselves. We're going to get into that. And so we're going to be healthier, more informed, better marketers with better brands in about an hour's time when we finish this. Sound good? I think so. So without further ado, let's welcome Yanis to the stage. Yanis, how's it going?
Hello, Martin. I'm super excited. I'm super fired up being here. I mean, I love your podcast. I love what you're doing. I love your vibe. So thank you for the honor.
It's all about the vibes, and it's all about blurry vibes today because I've got a new camera. So you guys watching on YouTube, you're in for a delight, but the autofocus has got a mind of its own right now. So blurringly coming at you. So Yanis, whereabouts in the world are you right now?
I'm currently in New York. I moved a couple of months ago from Greece. I was traveling all the time between Greece and the US, but I had to eventually move here since we're growing our business here.
Slightly different climates, though, right?
Yeah, it's not easy to move from a climate like Greece, which is really, it has four seasons. It's mild, moving to the extreme climate of the US.
And so those of you who don't know me that well, or don't know me actually extra well, because it's not something I talk about so much, but Greece, Greek islands, Cyprus, that part of the world, the Mediterranean, is just, it's one of my favorite places in the world. I love the diet. I love the vegetables and the fish. Not a massive fan of ouzo, but a massive fan of just everything Greek culture. So this is going to be a really, really exciting episode. So let's kick things off. What we like to do, Yanis, is we like to go back. We like to understand where you've come from, where your roots are, and really that very first point where something happened in your life. You felt a little bit weird on the inside because you realized that you might not be like the other folk and you might be destined for something a little bit bigger, something where you're in charge. If you've got a sort of time in mind in your past, could you take us back to that time and tell us about it?
It's not easy to clarify, to find a moment, to identify a moment about that. To be honest, growing up, so one of the figures in my life that was really important was my great grandmother. So she died at the age of 103, and she was the wisest person I knew. I mean, she lost everything three times in her life due to wars. So due to unexpected events, she lost everything three times in her life. So one of the quotes or the learnings or the wisdom that she kept saying to me growing up, that is that you won't inherit anything. The only thing that you can transpass from one generation to another is investing in your own knowledge and investing in your brains, hard work and education. So growing up, although we currently have a family business, I always thought that I should educate myself and I should invest in myself as if we didn't have a family business, as if so basically the whole thought process that I was raised was that you need to create value yourself. You need to grow. You need to grow yourself in order, you know, to grow internally so that you can also grow a business. Mm-hmm. And basically, I always had in mind that I want to create value. I want to create value. I didn't know in which industry. I really love entrepreneurship, and I love creating value. I'm looking for the right word. Not only interested, but
driven by, like motivated?
I'm curious about our world, about several anything, basically. So that is also a driving force. So going back to where, if I can find a moment that triggered me, I cannot find a moment. It was the mentality that basically my great grandmother
distilled into you for a while. Do you remember any of your earlier value creations, any of the things you perhaps, whilst you're sort of honing your skills, that you created for the world in your early days?
Yeah, so basically Olira is my first business venture.
You nailed it straight off, just first time, boom, out the park.
Officially. Before that, I created value in different aspects, but within other companies, basically within our family business. It was not a separate function, a separate entity. Olira was my first venture.
Was your family business in the food industry as well, or a completely different business?
Yes, our family business is a flour milling business.
Okay.
So Olira was basically created due to our need to use our knowledge in our family business and our heritage, but actually create an extra value from what we have and diversify.
Nice.
So from B2B to B2C was a very, very big step for us.
So Olira is a breakfast biscuit brand, the fastest growing natural breakfast biscuit brand in the US. Like we said, such a hard sentence, a breakfast biscuit. Such a hard sentence, but such an impressive thing to do. So the family business is producing flour, manufacturing flour, and then flour was probably one of the ingredients, right? One of the important ingredients in the breakfast biscuits. So it's such a nice sort of way forward. So how do you get into that? Because, okay, so you've got the flour nailed down, but, you know, manufacturing these things en masse, the regulations, the you know, the food safety standards, the flavors, the different versions of it, all of that, like, how did you even get started? Can you tell us about how you started with that?
Yes, actually, this is a point that having your background, that's one of the reasons that you're posing this question, because a lot of entrepreneurs don't really understand that in order to go into retail, you need to have the prerequisites. You need to have the large scale manufacturing, which it's not that you can just do tests in your kitchen and bring a product to the shelves. You need to have all the certifications. You need to basically be able to scale fast. So that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs in the CPG industry don't understand in the very beginning. But what's my background? So I studied chemical engineering. So basically, Olira was I connected three different aspects. The first one was the background of our family business. So our family business is located in a very poor area in Greece. It's a farming area. So farming is the main source of income. And our family business has been in the farming and milling of grains for over one century. So my mother is running the business, and she's always very open. I guess you understand, having dinners or family gatherings, we're always talking about our business. So I was involved since the very child, since my early childhood, within the farming and creating of different ingredients for baking. The second aspect was my education. So I got really deep into the knowledge of formulations and processes and how to actually develop products in large scale. So that's my scientific background. And then the third one was my own personal, I would say, passion, my own personal admiration of ancient Greeks. So I'm truly fascinated on many things about ancient Greeks. Basically, I combined all these three aspects in Olira. So I wanted to help our family business and our local community by bringing a product to life that would fulfill modern people's needs. And I thought, how can I do this? By using what I'm really passionate about, which is our ancient Greeks wisdom, and by using also my scientific background to craft the product.
That's incredible. For like fusing those things, fusing the teachings of your great grandmother, right? Like, you know, you need the wisdom, you need the learnings, you need the experience. Well, wow, the ancient Greeks have got a ton of that. Can we tap into that? Can we fuse that with the modern? Can we fuse that? Can we create something that then helps the family business? I can see how, if they're like intersecting circles, how, you know, this product is being born. And so what things did you discover that the ancient Greeks were doing so well that the modern society isn't?
So first of all, we need to understand that the ancient Greek society was not, I mean, there were different philosophies behind their life approach. So you know that the first, you know, Pythagoras, the first one of the first mathematicians, he was also the first vegetarian. So in ancient Greece, philosophers were about the whole life approach. So philosophers were also mathematicians, astronomers. They were also dietitians, in a way that diet is the way that you approach life is in many ways very similar to the ways that you eat. So their life approach was mirrored many times in their diets. So I'll give you another example. For example, there were the Athenians and the Spartans. The Athenians had a very different life approach than the Spartans. The Athenians were more like, let's create the best of everything and let's enjoy life. Let's have large symposiums where we have a lot of wine and extremely sophisticated dinners. And they had great parties. Mm. Whereas the Spartans had a very different approach, which was, we need to be very, very mindful of the resources that Earth gives us. So we should only have, we should only consume as much as it's needed. So be very, as we call it in Greece, the like a demonian way, be very simple and have the least amount. So basically, what I strongly believe is that I believe in one quote from ancient Greeks, which is metron ariston. Metron ariston means the perfect balance. The perfect balance is translated into every pillar of life. So you should have the right amount of exercise, not too much and not too little. The right amount of work balance, work and personal life balance, the right amount of sugars, the right amount of protein. So you should, basically you should do everything in life, but don't be extreme. So you should
balance.
I'm sorry?
Balance amongst the things. Do everything, but in a balanced way.
Balance. So do as much, enjoy life and enjoy every aspect of life as much as you can, but with the right balance. And that's what we're trying to encapsulate in our products. So.
And it's such good... it's wisdom, right? I mean, the balance, the equilibrium, the most of a lot of things get out of kilter, out of whack, out of harmony when something, like you said, goes to its extreme. Like you're not sleeping enough, you're eating too much, you know, like you're not exercising enough, you're exercising too much. Like all of these things actually cause issues and cause the balance, and actually it's all about sort of finding that balance. And one of the techniques actually that that I practice actually with my wife, we each have like pillars. We call them pillars in our life, right? Where there's the work pillar, there's the romance pillar, there's the health and fitness pillar, right? And there's, and in our case, we've got like sort of like the family life pillar and so on. And what we do is we have these check-ins with each other where we rate not only for ourselves how well we think we've done since the last check-in in each pillar. And we've got goals in each pillar as well. But how well we think that like the other person's done, and particularly in like the sort of relationship romantic one as well, how well the other person's done. And that's really good to like, you know, have time set aside to just check in, like how are we doing against like what we said we wanted to do, say at the beginning of the year or something, how are we doing so far? And also how we see it, it's affecting our wives and our partners and so on. So, you know, do they see it in the same way? But then you can start sort of, you know, mapping out, like if you then match that up with, say, general happiness level, general success level, you can begin sort of mapping, plotting on a graph over time, like, you know, how well am I doing according to how well and according to what am I doing in each one of the pillars. And what you find is that you seem to be happier. I find I seem to be happier and progressing more when each one of those pillars is sort of in balance. And actually, if one of those pillars is like a 5 out of 5, but at the expense of another one that's a 1 out of 5, that's when actually things aren't going so well. So it's just an interesting way to sort of track.
I really love that. And that's exactly my life approach as well. I mean, you might perform 5 out of 5 in one area that you feel more comfortable with, and it might be easier for you. And you most probably are the best at, but you should always be cautious about not on the other pillars that you don't feel as comfortable with, to focus more on these pillars. Because you won't have the right equilibrium at the end, and at the end you might be the best CEO in the world, and you have the best company in the world, but if you don't balance it with a personal life and enjoying with your family and your community, then at the end you cannot be happy.
Absolutely. And so we found out where you've come from and how you fused these different ideas together to create Olyera, the breakfast biscuit that's ticking all of these boxes. Now you need to get it very quickly, like you said, get it to ready for scale very quickly, and then start getting it into the shelves of the supermarkets. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things you encountered that you didn't expect, some of the struggles you had, some of the learnings, what you would advise someone else who's looking to go down that path in this part of getting it onto the supermarket shelves?
So basically, I was very fortunate because so our family business is a B2B business. It's focusing on, so we're offering baking ingredients to baking industries that are using our ingredients to create that product. So due to that, I had a network of baking industries that we had very close relationships for decades. So I used that network to go to a baking industry and pitch them with my idea. And I did this early on because I knew that we had to work on a scale, on a manufacturing facility that had scale. So I worked with one of our clients of our family business. We were their supplier, and he was he became a partner. So he was a great he is a great man. When I went there and I told him I have an idea, he told me that I rarely see people that have the passion that you've got about what you have in mind, because back then it was just an idea. And he told me, I'm gonna support you in any means I can. I'm gonna give you my manufacturing plant for free, and you can do as many trials as you want, since it's really rare to see people that have, young people that have passion about creating something. So I'm really grateful to Mr. Spiros Theodoropoulos. That's one of my initial mentors and supporters. And then after I 2 years of R&D, I did a big batch, a container, and I sent it to the United States. So that's where my ignorance was a driving force. So I thought that if I managed to create a product that's a great product, which is, then that's it. As you know, that's not the case. You need to actually bring the product to the shelves in front of customers, get them to try the product, and how you actually should compare your product is how it performs next to the best-selling products in the category. So all these were, I didn't have this knowledge back then, and this was really important because my ignorance was a driving force, meaning that I thought I could conquer the world. And having that, I think it's important at some times. Otherwise, you wouldn't go for it. You wouldn't try. So I came to the U.S. Without knowing anything about the retail market. And as we know, there are usually, when you want to bring products to life, there are two ways. Either the physical market, so in our case, retail stores, supermarkets, grocery stores, or online. And I took the decision to go in retail because I saw that it's the exact opposite of D2C, meaning that D2C has zero or very low barriers to entry, but it's very difficult to create awareness. And I was scared because I didn't know the ways of creating awareness online, whereas retail market has huge barriers to entry. It's very difficult to get into large retailers' shelves. But if you get there, then the customers that go into these retailers, into that category, they are looking to buy products. So of products that fulfill their specific needs. Whereas for our product is products that are that offer convenient energy on the go, and also are first of all really tasty, which is something that we always forget, and second of all good for you. So we decided to go after the physical, the retail landscape, which is usually not the case nowadays. Nowadays, new ventures launch from online. And I'm sorry.
Well, so how did the supermarkets then approach you? So you've come to them, you go, I've got this amazing product, you know, let's get it on your shelves. Like what have they then sort of pushed back and said, nah, like you need this, well, pump the brakes. Like what sort of things did they come back to you with?
So you get a lot of no's until you get one or two of yeses to begin with. Rejection is only the first step of success.
And who was specifically saying no to you? Like who were you reaching out to? How were you getting into it?
The retail market, so 90% of the supermarkets are chains. And actually less than 10% are independent stores. And they have a very different process. So independent stores, you go in, you sell your product to the grocery buyer, you get the product on shelf. Whereas with grocery chains, you need to go through a very structured process. So you need to go through their distributors that has their own process. So it's very difficult to go in there. So I decided to start with independent stores to get the first feeling of the product. And basically, I was going around door to door selling our products in independent stores. And I got the feeling that in less than a month after I started selling, we were in 50 stores. So we had great reaction from the grocery buyers, but this was not scalable. And in order to have a business in the CPG, it has to be scalable. So that's where I realized that I needed to focus more on the chains rather than the independents, because it was not a good use of my time to focus 100% on going around and selling our products. So on that side, on retailers, I haven't accounted how many rejections we've got initially. And it's funny actually how we managed to get on the shelves. So I kept trying and sending samples to different retailers, and out of the blue I received a call from the large distributor that I have also been sending samples, and he was non-responsive. And I'm like, okay, that's great, I'd love to start working with you, but can you please let me know, I mean, how, why are you now interested? He told me because a large grocery chain asked for the product. Okay, that's amazing. So we managed to set up with this distributor in 2 weeks, which is a record time, because the average setup timing is 4 months after they've accepted your product. Wow. So the reason that we did it with a fast track was because I kept bugging them and sending them samples. So although he never responded, he knew who we were, what we were doing. And once the time came, this was important to fast track the process. So then I go to the retailer that actually asked the product. I was really excited about that. But I also asked him, why did you decide to take our product in? I mean, it's a bet. It's a great bet. You'll do great. But how did you decide to be the first mover? And he told me, which was incredible, that he had forgotten the samples of our product in the back of his desk. And a salesperson can I say brand names?
Yeah. Go for it.
Basically, of Belvita. So okay. Belvita breakfast biscuits is a huge brand owned by Mondelez. That's actually the brand that created the breakfast biscuits category. Mm. And that's where we saw as an opportunity to create a good for you Belvita.
Yeah.
So the salesperson of Belvita goes into, and that's something that the buyer shared with me afterwards, once he took the decision. So the salesperson is in there of Belvita selling Belvita. And he sees our product back on the end of the room. He says, well, what's this? That's like a good for you Belvita. Let me try it. And he says, wow, that's really better than our product. Why did you take this product in?
Cue them calling you and saying, right, it's time to get you on our shelves. That's phenomenal. So ladies and gentlemen, if you do actually want to learn more about Olyra, you can go to olyrafoods.com. So that is Olyra foods.com. And of course, as we've already mentioned, they're in Sprouts Market, Whole Foods, Publix, Kroger, Fresh Market, Stop and Shop, Giant, and so many more. And but I would stop off at that website first, because you can get some really good visuals. They really do. The images on there are absolutely fantastic. Mouth watering. So, Yanis, at this point in the show, we like to mix it up. We go into the rapid fire question round. I ask the questions quickly. You can choose the speed in which you respond. Are you up for that?
Yes, I'm going to try.
You're going to try. Good one. Are you two thumbs up for that? There they are. All right. Question number one. If you ever had to start again, how would you make your money?
As I mentioned, this is my first venture, so I'll do the same. I would try to do this, not do the same mistakes, but I'm sure I'm going to do other mistakes. So I would definitely go again with all your breakfast biscuits.
Well, I think what you did, I mean, you thought, right, what are my strengths? Okay, and one of your strengths is that you've got a huge supply of flour, right? Like, what are my desires? Well, it's about educating people about the wisdom of ancient Greeks, but also to help my family business out and the local community. And then, what's a sort of unique angle, like a sort of inner belief, is like the wisdom and learning and sort of that fusion of those. I think when business owners take the time to stop before making the next, the next thing, the thing that they're going to build, they actually take some time to build it, and they start looking at sort of, what are my strengths? What are my desires? What am I passionate about? What is a space? What is a growing industry? And start, you can sort of do all of those processes separate, and then with enough time, your subconscious will begin to draw those together and spot that common thread that joins up all of those things together. And there's a good chance that that's where your, that's where the thing is. That's the seed of what it was. So I think that's incredible. And yeah, if you were going to start again, why wouldn't you do the same thing? It's a smart thing to do. What's the most common or biggest mistakes leaders make? What mistakes do you see leaders making all the time?
I don't know about other leaders. I'm going to share about myself, which is, early on, I wasn't really as much focused on data, no numbers. So getting deep into data early on, I think, is really important to better understand your product, to better understand your audience, to better understand what works and what doesn't work. So not only have the gut feeling and the passion about what you do, which is important, but prove it with numbers.
Brilliant. Who is a great leader, whether alive or dead, and why are they great?
So Charles Corsten is my mentor. He's also, I'm really honored that he's also now part of our BOD in Olyra. Charles Corsten is the CEO and president of Lesser Evil. It's it is the fastest growing natural popcorn brand in the US, but it's not only popcorn, it's good for you snacks. And I really, really look up to him because he has been so genuine and supportive to me. And I really look up to him because he has created such a great company. And not only, I mean, that the products are phenomenal, the growth that they have is extraordinary, but I had the chance to spend two work days within their when they did their workshop. Well, all the function of the company and all the team members were there, and I saw the mentality, and not only how what a great company they are, but what a great team they've got, and how it's an amazing group of people. So building such an amazing group of people, it what makes the company at the end successful. So I really look up to Charles because he has created this everything that he does. The product is fulfilling a need, but he also has his own philosophy that he wants to share with the world through his products. He has created an amazing team, and having time to support and give back to other entrepreneurs. So,
brilliant. What is one of your proudest moments?
Our proudest moment, I would say, seeing our products on the shelves. this was for me. It was a moment that I couldn't believe that this would actually happen until it actually did. So
did you go into the supermarket taking the selfies?
I have a big poster of my selfie.
Brilliant. I don't blame you at all. What's one interesting fact about you that not many people would know?
I'm very open, so I don't think that I have something.
Than a secret, what's a lesser known fact about you?
A lesser known fact. Oh, I'm sure. I don't know. I'm a huge sports fan as well.
What sports are you into?
Yeah, soccer.
Soccer.
Soccer. We got basically European football. Yes.
What daily routines do you have, whether morning or evening, that have helped make you successful?
So I try to balance, but I'm not really successful on being balanced. So I start early work early morning with a cold shower, and I basically. My team, my operations team is in Greece and I'm based in the US. So I have to combine our working hours. So I work really early in the morning. I do not exercise in the morning. I exercise in the afternoon. So basically cold shower and I go after the meetings. So I usually, I don't have much time to have a proper breakfast, and that's where our products come in. So I'm having our products due to my need to start working early on.
And which is your favorite of your products?
My products are, you know, it's my like my children. I can't really choose one. I like everyone for different reasons. But what I'm really excited about are the products that we're launching beginning of the year. So in a few months, we're bringing a new line of products in the market. And I don't know. I guess with every newborn, you'll get new excitement.
Is it easier once you've got your products already in the supermarkets to add an additional line?
In order to do that, you need to actually prove that these products, these new lines, are incremental. Are incremental in two ways, to the category and to the rest line of your product. So if you're doing a bar and you have, for example, a bar with smaller pieces of chocolate and large chunks of chocolate and I don't know, two or three kind of chocolates, they're both cannibalizing each other as well as they do not bring something new to the category. So in a way, it's easier because you have the communication with the buyer, but you will always have to prove to the buyer why this is different. And at the end, the customer will say whether it's different or not.
So do you find the supermarkets will typically give you a go?
They would, because we do not bring another Me Too product to the table. We always bring something which is truly different.
Nice. What book or books changed your mindset or life?
I can't say what changed my mindset. I'd say the biography of Steve Jobs was one of the books that I really loved, in how he encapsulated different observations, different experience that he had, and into at the end what he was and his company was.
Nice. What advice would you give your younger self?
What advice do I give you to? So that's another quote that I really like, which is, I'm going to try to translate it, which is, you should look at the point that you want to go to. Otherwise, you will find yourselves to the point that you're actually looking at. Mm. So you should aim high, you should go for that. You should always keep trying to do better, but at the same time, and this might be a bit controversial, but going back to what we discussed previously at some point, was that you should always take the time to acknowledge the successes that you've had, which is really important and something that we usually forget to do. Acknowledge what we have succeeded so far.
Nice. What unusual or underrated food or drink should more people try out?
Not Are you on your
own. Not on your own. But that goes without saying. All right. What else? Perhaps some of the raw ingredients you work with, or some of the things that the ancient Greeks consumed.
So I believe in the Mediterranean diet. So the Mediterranean diet is basically based on grains, pulses and vegetables. So truly what I believe in, not only you should have the right amount of these ingredients, but you should have them the right way. I mean, to me personally, having an impossible burger doesn't solve the problem. It solves the problem. It helps the sustainability aspect. But if you want to have vegetables, you should have vegetables the right way. You should have authentic, true vegetables from that are grown organically, preserving the environment. By having a veggie burger, you are supporting in a way by not consuming wheat, but I'm sorry, not consuming meat, but it's not the authentic, true way of consuming vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Like that. And then final question, Yanis, what makes you happiest?
Balance. I'm going back to what you said. I believe that, and I'm, to be honest, I'm not really successful on being balanced. I need to try more on that because I feel more comfortable with work, and that's where I'm spending most of my time and my effort. I need to focus more on my personal life as well. So.
The thing is with balance, though, like if you've ever tried standing on one leg, right? The more you try to balance, the more you fall. As soon as you quieten everything and just stand on one leg, that's when you find the balance. So the mere fact that you've got balance as the aspiration, I haven't met a single successful entrepreneur that's got their shit together. Not one. Not a single one. They're successful, and they but you know, their pillars would be just as unaligned as everybody else's, right? Their pillars, their rank out of five, their business life might be crushing 5 out of 5, but something might be on fire at home, right? Metaphorically speaking. So I think it's just important to understand that the goal is balance. It might not be a achievable goal, but the closer you get to it, the better. And the less you try and force it, you're aware of it. You're aware of what you're trying to achieve. You're tracking it, sure, but you're not forcing it. Like you're standing on one leg, forcing trying to balance. I think that's where, you know, you've got that sort of harmonious balance. So I think you're doing it the right way. And, you know, you're aware that you can improve and you want to improve and you're aspiring to improve. And, you know, you'll become more balanced as a result, you know, as and when you're supposed to be more balanced. I think that's...
I agree. You're doing a great job. Yeah, it should come... You cannot strive for it. It should come naturally.
You can just set things up to encourage the balance. But, Yanis,
Just one last quote is what really helps it is being grateful, gratefulness about what we've got, about the basically health and the people that we've got around us is really a way to happiness.
Absolutely. Well, Yanis, that brings us pretty much to the end of the show. It's been a fantastic one. At this point, I'd like to ask you, do you have any asks or requests of the audience listening today?
We are offering to US customers, unfortunately, only, not to the rest of the world, hopefully to the rest of the world, a free trial kit. So you can go on our website and try our products, and I'd love to hear your view.
Amazing. So the website, once again, Olyra, if you're butchering it, but it's OlyraFoods.com. Go up there and take Yanis up on his offer. I can see someone at the bottom. You can request a free trial pack. You should absolutely do that if you're in the US. Well, Yanis, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for being on. Thank you for authentically sharing. I love the Belvita story and the challenges of getting into retail and the whys behind it and not giving up at all the rejections, because it only really takes one, and pushing forward and making value in the world that is aligned with what you're trying to achieve and who you're trying to help and what you're trying to fuse, in this case the ancient wisdom of the ancient Greeks. It's been amazing. It's been an absolute hoot. Thank you so much for being on the Smart Destiny podcast.
Thank you, Martin. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Hey there, you incredibly good-looking human. Thanks so much for listening. If you had a good time today and would like more good times in the future, please hit that subscribe button and leave a heartwarming review. I read them all and it will go a long way to help others out there benefit from all the teachings of this show. And if you want to get in touch or otherwise learn more about me, head to martincook.co.uk or smarterdestiny.com. I really appreciate you. You're an incredible human. Until next time, keep crushing.